for the Dean. Thank you, Dr. Helen Wallace.
Thank you. Well, I could have talked about any aspect of what was being discussed today, so I decided to focus on what is kind of a definition of personalised medicine, but it's a bit less technical than Alison's. It's a political definition of personalised medicine. So I've taken the one from Tony Blair's speech in 2002, where he says, "We can now see a future where the doctor will swab a few cells from inside your cheek, put them in a DNA sequencing machine, and a computer will spit out a complete reading of your unique genetic makeup. And from that, doctors could pinpoint flawed genes and gene products and predict what diseases you are likely to develop years in advance of any symptoms and how to help you avoid them." So that's the definition I'm starting from, but I'm going to give a kind of a brief history of personalised medicine. This is, of course, very brief in 10 minutes. I'm going to talk briefly about the concept and where it came from with the eugenicists and heritability, but then I'm going to look at the role of the tobacco industry in particular, but also mention the other industries that were involved in actually promoting this idea of individualised medicine, focusing on genetic screening as a way to blame genes, deliberately blame genes, for your diabetes. So the idea that people have in UAE that your diabetes is genetic is actually an idea that suits some companies. So I'll give you some evidence about that, particularly in relation to the tobacco industry. And then I'll look very briefly at the idea of personalised marketing and the expansion of the health market to shift towards treating pre-symptomatic people, because of course there are also vested interests in that area in terms of the health industries and the food industries. They want to expand their markets to more healthy people. And I'm not going to say more about this, but I think the final point to note is, of course, that building genetic databases in a world where we would all perhaps have our whole genome sequenced at birth also allows governments or the police or anyone else with access to that system to track individuals and their relatives. So there is an interest in the surveillance aspect that also provides, of course, one of the very big potential downsides of this idea. So I'm starting with my friend Ronald Fisher. He's sitting there smoking his pipe. The first thing he did was write this paper in 1918. He was a eugenicist as well as a statistician, and he wrote the key paper that is used to calculate the heritability of common diseases. He also went on to work as a consultant for the tobacco industry. So if we look first at his science is what underpins the current debate about what Nature called in 2008 the case of the missing heritability. The fact that we have common diseases where we have a calculated heritability of, say, 50% or so, but the scientists have only been able to identify about 10% of that. And so it says here, when scientists opened up the human genome, they expected to find these genetic components of common traits and diseases, but they still haven't found those. And since that article, a little bit more has been found, but still most of that heritability is missing. And one reason, not the whole reason, because there's a big debate going on about it at the moment, but one reason, as Eric Lander has finally admitted, and I'm very pleased about this, in Nature earlier this year, some of the missing heritability may simply be an illusion because of the assumptions that Fisher made, in particular the assumptions that interactions between multiple genetic factors and multiple environmental factors were not very important. So you can see that Lander says here, the estimates may be inflated because the methods are not effective at excluding the non-linear contributions of these interactions, which are likely to be significant. That's something I've been saying for some time. I'm going to move on to the vested interests. Fisher became a tobacco industry consultant in the 1950s, so around the time the human genome double helix was discovered was also when the industry was getting blamed for causing lung cancer. Fisher's theory was the constitutional hypothesis that lung cancer was actually in your genes, and the link with smoking was a genetic coincidence because your likelihood of smoking was also in your genes. And the industry poured literally millions of dollars into supporting this idea. And they supported this idea because, of course, it would be good for business. What most of you probably don't know is that in the run-up to the Human Genome Project, when scientists had to convince Reagan and the Thatcher governments of the industrial applicability of this very expensive project, they started teaming up with these industries and changed the message around why genetics was being done. So the original message on which they tried to sell the project was it would help identify genetic damage associated with radiation exposure. And they changed their message to it being about heritable genetic risk, screening people to find those heritable differences so that you could target prevention at the high-risk individuals. And if you don't believe me, I'm not going to go through the whole paper. I've published a paper based on internal tobacco industry documents. Gundel and others have published another paper that's looking at, I looked at lung cancer, they looked at this idea of nicotine addiction, or the industry didn't call it that, likelihood of smoking, and the internal tobacco industry documents. So this is the minutes in British American Tobacco's files of their meeting with Sidney Brenner in March 1988, about a month before he set up the Human Genome Organization to lobby for the project. He went so far as to recommend that the industry should also be prepared to carry out screening, if appropriate, for those individuals carrying genetic markers for diseases such as lung cancer. But, so by 1994, the Council of Tobacco Research in the US had spent $225 million on research, much of it genetic research. But in 1995, this paper was published here with scientists who had actually worked with some of the tobacco industry scientists at the National Institutes of Health, and they found no significant inherited component in lung cancer. So the story that you could actually find all the cases, these are supposed to represent the cases of lung cancer, in a minority of people who were at high genetic risk, or perhaps a minority who were at high genetic risk and who were smokers, and you could target your prevention at these individuals. That story was not true because the risks were not distributed in that way. There is, in effect, no real genetic component. So there's a strong environmental component to lung cancer, but not a strong genetic component. So in 1996, Science reported that Philip Morris was about to fund a new institute headed by Sidney Brenner at La Jolla, $15 million a year for 15 years. That project was canned when Science exposed it, but instead of abandoning the idea of genetic screening, funders distanced themselves from the tobacco industry, but continued to promote this approach for other diseases, and in particularly initially in combination with the pharmaceutical industry. So here in the UK, you had basically a plan proposed by Sir George Post to actually build a DNA database like the one in Iceland. And that is why we have the spine. That is why all the money was spent on trying to create a system of electronic medical records that could later be combined with genetic information. And the main aim was to massively expand the drug market so that healthy people could be screened and could be given medication before they became ill, if you remember Tony Blair's quote at the start. Now we've moved on to a different era where companies like 23andMe are the leaders in the direct-to-consumer testing market. So 23andMe obviously is funded largely by Google, is run by Sergey Brin, the Google founder's wife, so it's got close connections with Google, and the idea is much more linked to the idea of personalised marketing. So this comes from a presentation by Burrell & Co. in 2009. The idea is you get screened at Walmart, and then you get your consumer-driven personal health planning with all kinds of personalised sales. But how are the risks actually distributed for different common diseases? Well, obviously it varies from disease to disease, but we're looking much more at a picture like this than we are at the picture that the tobacco industry originally told you. In other words, genetic tests are not good discriminators for who is going to be at high risk in the general population. This is just a couple of quotes from a couple of papers saying that the predictive value provided by genetic screening tests for disease susceptibility will be too low to have widespread medical or social application, and that this would remain the case even if all the relevant genetic variants were ultimately discovered. So I'm finishing with another quote from Lander from the same paper, where he says that partial risk prediction will be feasible, but there are likely to be fundamental limits in practice of the prediction of common complex diseases. So my conclusions are, in general, genetic sequencing will not be useful to predict and prevent disease. This has been a false story that has been told over a long period of time. So the unregulated genetic tests that are on the market now are, in general, at best a waste of money. And this idea has been promoted, in general, by vested interests. So that means that the idea of sequencing everybody's genome at birth, for example, is not going to outweigh the privacy risk. However, my final caveat, which is very important, some gene tests, of course, are useful for some people, and even sequencing the whole genomes of some people will be useful. So we do need still to address all the important ethical issues that are being discussed today. But I would make a plea for us to address those in a context where we're very clear that there is no massive genetic revolution in which we should all have our genomes sequenced.
Thank you very much.